Acts chapter 4, and we're going to read from verses 1 through to 13. Acts chapter 4, and verses 1 through to 13. And as he spake unto the people of the priests, and the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold until the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. And it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes, and Annas the high priest, and Caiaphas and John, and Alexander, and as many were of the kindred of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, "By what power or by what name have you done this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, "Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Let's just pray once again. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for your precious word, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that your holy word, Lord, continues to speak to us today, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the precious gospel truths, Lord, which are contained in your word as well, Lord. And we pray, Lord, as we meditate upon some of them gospel truths tonight, Lord, we pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would be with us, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would be edifying us here as a church, Lord, and that your Holy Spirit would be convincing those who still need to repent before you, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would be convincing those of their sin that they could come to repentance to you, Lord. And this is our prayer in this very evening. In Jesus' name, amen. As we look at society today, as we look at the world around us, something we can notice is that there's a lot of different religions and there's a lot of different beliefs on how to get to heaven. There's a lot of different beliefs on how to gain salvation. And this, I suppose, makes sense as the Bible teaches us in Ecclesiastes that God has placed eternity in the heart of every man. So every man, no matter where he may be from, no matter what religion he may be from, no matter what part of the earth he may be from, he thinks about eternity. He thinks about what is going to happen after he passes away, what is going to happen after death. This is a natural thought which occurs to every man because God has placed the desire for eternity in the heart of every man. But as a result of sin and as a result of many perhaps not having the scriptures, there are many different beliefs and there are many different views on eternity that have come up or that have come to exist. And we can look and we can see that nearly every religion has its own belief about eternity. We can look and see that the Muslims will believe something about eternity, that the Catholics will believe something about eternity and how to gain that their salvation, that the Buddhists will have some sort of belief about what happens after death. And even whenever we look to what we would perhaps describe as primitive cultures, we would see that many of them, many tribes, are not ignorant in not believing that something happens after death. If you look in the deep rainforests of Papua New Guinea or Brazil or the isolated islands of Indonesia, the red Indians from America, if you look and study and look at many of their cultures, look at many of their beliefs, you'll discover that they believed that something happens after death, that they believe that there is a heaven or a hell. And I'd like to perhaps just illustrate this with you tonight by sharing about one, I suppose, what we could describe as a primitive culture, as a tribe which lives in the Amazon jungle. And it's I'd like to just share with you about perhaps what the Yanomami tribe believes about heaven or hell. And the Yanomami tribe is a tribe which is made up of perhaps 25,000 people in Brazil. One of the most isolated tribes in Brazil until today. But the missionaries, upon going to that their tribe and studying their culture, they discovered that the Yanomamis, that they believe in a heaven and they believe in a hell as well.
So how then does a Yanomami, believing in heaven and believing in hell, how then does a Yanomami gain salvation? How then does a Yanomami become saved? And upon dying, a Yanomami will be presented before some sort of superior being. And upon being presented to that their superior being will evaluate him, will evaluate his life to see how generous he was. And if that Yanomami was very generous and shared what things he had, what game he had caught with family and friends and other people, he could perhaps gain his salvation, be sent to heaven. But if that Yanomami was tight-fisted, he would be sent to hell. And we could also notice perhaps what their view of heaven was, which is very different from the Orthodox Christian view. And that is that upon being granted this here salvation, this permission to enter into heaven for being generous, he would walk up a pathway and arriving in he would arrive upon one of their traditional indigenous huts that they lived in. And in that indigenous hut there would be hung a hammock for him to rest. There would be lots of game for him to eat, lots of women for him, and lots of family who had passed away would be there waiting for him as well. So as you can see, that's very different from what Christians believe, what the Bible teaches. But we can see that a tribe isolated in the middle of the jungle has some sort of belief that there is an eternity. And the fact that many people believe in eternity, there is some religions, and unfortunately some professing Christians who have also said that all roads lead to heaven. And I would like you to think upon a question with me tonight, and that question is, do all roads lead to heaven? Do all religions take us to heaven? Do all beliefs about eternity take us to heaven? And you see, this question is very important, because if eternity exists, we must be sure that we are going to have a place in heaven. We must be sure that we know how to get to heaven, and we must be sure of what is really true. And as we look upon this here passage which we read tonight, I would like to really just focus on you on the verse 12, and I'll just read it again with you. And it says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name given among men whereby we must be saved. And in this here passage we can see two affirmations about the way to heaven. And the first affirmation we see is that there is only one way to heaven. I just asked you the question, do all roads lead to heaven? And as we look upon this here verse, the verse 12, we see that it directly shows us that not all roads lead to heaven, but it shows us that there is only one way which leads to heaven. There is only one road which leads to heaven. It says, the first part is, neither is there salvation in any other. And you see, whenever it talks about salvation here, this is obviously talking about having our sins forgiven. It's about being relieved from the consequence of our sins, which is an eternity of eternal punishment in hell. So whenever it talks about this here salvation, it's about relieving us from our sins, getting forgiveness for our sins, and being saved from the eternal wrath of God in heaven. And as we think about this here, as we say that there is only one way to heaven, we can think about two aspects of the Christian faith which are very different from all other religions, from all other beliefs, whether it be an official religion which we have here in our own society, or a religion which is in a primitive culture. And the first aspect of Christian faith that we see that is very different than the Christian religion is that the Christian religion dogmatically states that there is only one way to heaven. As we look to the scriptures, as we look at what the Bible has to teach, we can see that it clearly says that there is only one way to heaven. The Bible does not leave it open that there is another way for us to gain salvation. The Bible does not leave it open that there is another religion in which we can gain salvation. The Bible leaves it very clear that there is only one way to be saved. The Bible leaves it very clear that there is only one way through which we can gain salvation. And you see, this is very distinct about the Christian religion, because as we look to other religions, as we look to other faiths, not all of them teach that. Not all of them will tell you that there is only one way to heaven, but many of them will tell you that whatever you believe will take you to God. Whatever you believe will take you to heaven. You don't need to worry about the other religions. You don't need to worry about studying the other religions. You don't need to worry about studying what other people believe, because as long as you believe in something, that will take you to heaven. But the Bible, my friends, leaves it very clear that there is only one way to heaven. Neither is there salvation in any other. And you see, the fact that there's many beliefs and there's many people who will tell you that all roads lead to heaven, this is one of the greatest lies of the devil, because through this lie, the devil can fool you into believing that you don't need to go after the truth, that you don't need to go after the true way to get to heaven, that you don't need to try and discover what is the true way to heaven. But the Bible can make you comfortable in the belief which is perhaps wrong. Or the devil can make you comfortable in a belief which is perhaps wrong. The devil can make you comfortable to believe that which will not in fact take you to heaven, but that which will take you straight to hell. And it's very important, as we consider eternity, that we look to the Bible and we believe that there's only one way to heaven. You see, the Bible tells us of the true way to heaven. And the fact that it is dogmatic in saying that there is only one way to heaven, this should even be a factor which helps us to believe it. Because it isn't trying to warm yourself up to the other religions, it isn't trying to encourage you to leave other religions at bay, but is it encouraging you to believe the truth? It is encouraging you to analyse the scriptures and discover what the truth is. It is encouraging you to understand that there is only one way to heaven. And upon understanding that there is only one way to heaven, to seek what that their way to heaven is. See, one of the greatest deceptions that the devil uses to the blind and those who are lost in their sin is that all roads lead to heaven. But something perhaps that we could say, which would be more correct, would be that all roads lead to hell, with the exception of one road. And the only road which leads to heaven is Jesus Christ. Neither is there salvation in any other. And you see, something else which is also very distinct, one other aspect about the Christian religion, which separates it from all the other religions, is that the Bible also dogmatically states that good works can't save anyone. You see, as we look to other religions, as we look to other cultures, we can look to what they believe, but something that they all have in common, it is what that their person does. It is through human good merits, it is through doing good works, that a person will gain their salvation. If we look to the Catholic faith, for example, it is by doing good works that a person will gain his salvation. But the scriptures leave it very clear. For by grace you are saved through faith. It is not of yourselves, but it is a gift of God. Salvation does not come through works, but it is a gift of God. If we look at the Muslim faith as well, we will see that essentially what they are teaching, it is what the Muslim does that will present himself before Allah as someone who is fit for heaven. And even if we look perhaps at that their primitive tribe, which I said, what their belief is, we will see that it is good works which will take them to heaven as well. And something perhaps whenever we hear a story like that there, which sounds so preposterous that generosity could take you to heaven, but it is something which is common in all religions, that they would generally say that good works take you to heaven. But the Christian religion is very different. What the Bible teaches us is very different. What Jesus Christ taught us is very different. You see, the Bible teaches us that good works don't take us to heaven. The Bible teaches us that the law can't save. The Bible teaches us that good morals can't save. The Bible teaches us that all our good works are as filthy rags. That is what the Bible teaches us about our good works. And my dear friends, we should not lean upon the good things we do to take us to heaven. We should not lean upon the good things that we do to try and gain God's favour in getting into heaven. And this is perhaps one of the most common beliefs as we speak to and try to evangelise different people. As we speak to different people who would say that perhaps don't even believe in God, or who perhaps do believe in God but don't seek to obey the scriptures as they are taught and obey what the scriptures say. They will generally say that, I'm a good person. I've never killed anyone. I don't steal. I try to be good to my neighbours. I try to be good to my friends. I think if I came before God, he wouldn't send me to hell because I try to be a good person. But my friends, don't let this thought fool you. Don't believe that you are a good person, because we must look at our good works in light of the scriptures. We must look at our good works in light of a most holy God who cannot tolerate sin in any form or any format, who is so holy and who is so pure and who is so good that he cannot, in fact, even look upon sin. And whenever we understand how grave our sin is before God, whenever we understand how sinful our nature is before God, whenever we understand that our good works are only as filthy rags before God, we will then understand that our good works cannot take us to heaven. We will then understand that it is not of ourselves in which we gain salvation. And we must look to Him who can provide us with salvation. We must look to the way in which the Lord has provided the salvation. And that there is faith in Jesus Christ. Faith in His atoning work on the cross. And we see that it is faith throughout all the scriptures that saves us. We even see it in the Old Testament. If you look at the Old Testament patriarchs, Abraham, for example, you'll find nowhere in the Bible where it says that Abraham was made righteous through his works. But in fact, if you look to Romans 4, you'll see that Abraham was made righteous by faith. If you look at Hebrews 11, because of faith, Enoch was translated. It is faith which saves us. It is not our good works. It was that there verse which I quoted from Ephesians 2 and 8. For by grace you are saved through faith. It is not of yourselves, but it is a gift of God. It is by grace through faith that we are saved, my friends. So I urge you tonight to look at your good works in the light of a holy God. To look at your good works in the light of a God who is completely pure, who cannot even look upon sin, who has never done anything wrong and will never do anything wrong, and understand how sinful you are before Him. And whenever we understand how sinful we are before Him, we can then look and understand why Jesus Christ came to the cross. Neither is there salvation in any other. The Bible is very dogmatic in stating that there is only one way to heaven. And the second affirmation we can make about the way to heaven is that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. We looked in the first point that there is only one way to heaven, and we must ask ourselves then that question, what is the way to heaven? If there is only one way to heaven, how then can we get there? If there is only one way to heaven, what in fact is that way? And the only way to heaven is Jesus Christ. So having thought upon how there is only one way to heaven, let us now think upon Him who has provided the way for us to get to heaven. And just bringing into context, perhaps I should have done this at the start, the verses which we read, and the context of this here verse, that neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name get under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And we see here that it's the Apostle Peter speaking. And the Apostle Peter, before he was speaking in this here verse, he had been preaching to the people in Jerusalem. And he was preaching that there message of Jesus Christ, of Him who was crucified and Him that was resurrected. And upon preaching that there message, there was over 5,000 people that came to know and trust in Jesus Christ as their Saviour. And in believing that there message, and there was also a man who was sick, a lame man, and through the power of Jesus Christ, Peter had healed that there man as well. And the religious leaders had saw all this going on, and they weren't happy about it. They were not happy to see that Peter was preaching of Him whom they had crucified. So what the religious leaders had done is they had arrested Peter and the other apostles that were with him, the other disciples that were with him, and they brought him in. They said, on what authority do you preach this message and did you heal that man? And Peter then, speaking to the religious leaders, he tells them, by the authority of Jesus Christ, whom they crucified, whom they nailed to the cross, it is in His authority that man was healed and that they preach this message. And Peter then said this glorious gospel message on to those religious leaders, on to the Pharisees, on to the high priest, on to the Sadducees. He told them that neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. And we must remember that Peter was not a learned man. Peter was before some of the most educated men perhaps in Jerusalem. Some of the most educated men in their religion. So how bold was Peter to challenge them with this gospel message? How bold was Peter to tell them who were educated, to tell them who diligently studied the Old Testament scriptures, how bold was he to tell them that it wasn't the law that would save them, that it wasn't their good works that would save them, it wasn't the Ten Commandments that would save them, but it was only through the name of Jesus Christ where they could gain salvation. It was only through Jesus Christ, whom they sent to the cross, whom they crucified, whom they rejected, that they could be saved. And this is the message which Peter preached on the lamb. This is the message which an unlearned man preached on to the religious leaders of Jerusalem. This is the message which an unlearned man preached on to learned men. And you see, this is a very important message. And it doesn't matter what your social status is. It doesn't matter how learned you are. It doesn't matter what job you work in. It's very important that we all understand that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. It's very important that we all understand that Jesus Christ is the only way in which we can be saved. And this here verse, the second part of this here verse, it tells us that there is none other name. And whenever it says name here, it's describing the person of Jesus Christ. That there's no other person which can provide them without their salvation. There's no other person under heaven, because there's no one on this earth that could have provided the way of salvation for us. There's no man which has ever lived which ever could have provided us with salvation. You see, Jesus was the promised Lamb of God, the promised atonement for our sins. Jesus came and he was the only one who has ever completely obeyed the Ten Commandments. He's the only one who has ever lived a perfect life. He is the only one who could present his blood as a perfect sacrifice for our sins. Because in the book of Hebrews, if we were to read through it in Hebrews chapter 9, we would see that without the remission, or without the shedding of blood, that there is no remission of sins. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. In fact, in Hebrews 9 and 28 it says as well, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And Jesus Christ was at their perfect sacrifice offered to bear our sins. Jesus Christ was at their perfect sacrifice offered to bear the sins of many, offered to bear the sins of all sinners. Jesus Christ is the only way to salvation. There is none other name given among heaven whereby we must be saved. You see, the road to heaven is a blood-paved road. The road to heaven is a road which is paved by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. A road which is paved by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. It was only his blood that could offer a sacrifice sufficient enough to eternally pardon our sins. For God to see us as righteous. For God to be able to forgive us our sins. It was only through the blood of Jesus Christ. So as we look and we see there are many religions, there are many beliefs, there are many views on eternity, the Bible teaches us that there is only one way to heaven. And that only way to heaven is through Jesus Christ. See, it wasn't just the Jews that crucified Jesus Christ. It wasn't just the religious leaders that crucified Jesus Christ. It wasn't just the Roman soldiers that crucified Jesus Christ. But it was you and me who crucified Jesus Christ as well. It was our sins that put Jesus Christ on the cross. It was our sins that made Jesus Christ, the Son of God, come down from heaven. The Word became flesh. Live a humble life. Live a suffered life here on this earth. And suffer upon the cross to bear our sins. That we could be saved. That we could be forgiven. That we could be adopted into the family of the Lord, that we could become co-heirs with Jesus Christ. What a glorious gospel the Bible teaches us. What a glorious thing that Jesus Christ achieved for us. Us who could not attain salvation by our own merit, Jesus Christ provided salvation for us. As we look upon that there, as we see that it is only through Jesus Christ and that we are nothing but sinners before God, we must look to the shedding of the blood of Jesus Christ on the cross, and we must repent of our sins, and we must trust in his sacrifice to forgive us of our sins and to relieve us from the consequence of our sins, which would be an eternity in hell. So just to conclude, do all roads lead to heaven? I hope that tonight that you would agree with me and that you would say no. I hope that you would agree with me and you would be able to say that the only road to heaven is the blood-paved road of Jesus Christ. That the only road to heaven is through the sacrifice, is through the cross of Jesus Christ, and that you would repent of your sins and that you would replace, and you would place your trust in Him. In Him who can save to the uttermost. So I would encourage you to ask yourselves this question on this night. If you do not yet know the Lord, take into consideration that there is only one road to heaven. Ask yourself, what is that there road? And look to Jesus Christ and follow Him. And if you are saved tonight, I pray that you will rejoice in that there truth, that we have been saved and washed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And we'll just close together then. And we'll just pray first. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You, Lord, for Your precious blood shed on the cross for us, Lord. We thank You, Lord, for that there precious salvation that was provided for us on the cross, Lord. We thank You, Lord, that through the shedding of Your holy and pure and precious blood, Lord, that we can gain forgiveness for our sins, Lord. That we can understand that there is only one way to heaven, Lord, and we can understand that Jesus Christ is the only way, Lord. No other way but only Jesus Christ, Lord. And we pray, Lord, that if there be any in this here meeting tonight, Lord, who are still on the road to hell, who are still following a belief which will take them to an eternity in hell, we pray, Lord, that Your Holy Spirit would be convincing them tonight of that glorious truth that Jesus Christ is the only way to salvation. That neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And we pray that some dear soul tonight, Lord, could come before You, Lord, and repent of their sins, Lord, and trust in Jesus Christ for their salvation. This is our prayer, Lord, and we pray, Lord, for all those who are lost, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.